We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hit me!
It's time for HBCU Play.
Welcome to HBCU Play. LaRisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And yes, we are back with another episode for you guys. We've missed you. We have. Did you miss everybody, Ms. Crenshaw?
Yeah, we did. But I hope it was a filling time, literally, during the Thanksgiving holiday.
And just like every show, we're going to begin with...
Here's this week's starting lineup on HBCU Play.
The starting lineup.
The starting lineup. Of course, this is championship week, LaRisha, in the SWAC. Of course, the road to Atlanta and the Celebration Bowl has had many twists and turns, and we already know who will be here for the MEAC. It will be North Carolina A&T, back once again as champions of the Mideastern Athletic Conference. But what about the SWAC? Drama right down to the end, and two teams that met earlier this year in Southern University and Alcorn State.
They will meet again, and I think that's going to be an exciting game. We'll talk about it and go a little deeper in it a little later. But let's talk about something else that's exciting, Mr. Crenshaw. How about attendance at HBCU games?
We got some big numbers.
Yes, big numbers. So a total of 8 HBCUs ranked in the top 20 of FCS home attendance in 2018, and that includes 4 from the SWAC. So guess who came in at number one?
Who was that?
Jackson State. They finish atop the FCS in home attendance for 2018. They average, get this, 24,770 people per home game this season. So their highest attendance among the home games came against Alabama A&M in the Tigers' first home game of the season. That was about 30,000 people. And then the second one came in against Mississippi Valley State during their homecoming. That was at 29,500. A lot of people come into this. But a few more that were on the list, the others that were there include Southern, Florida A&M, Alabama State, North Carolina A&T, Alabama A&M, South Carolina State, and Tennessee State. But let's not forget to mention a game that a lot of people go to, the 2018 Bayou Classic, which is the annual Southern and Grambling Showdown. Drew the largest crowd for the FCS season with 67,871 people attending the game in New Orleans.
Say that again.
67,871 people attended that game in New Orleans.
That is strong. That's a lot of people. That is so strong. And that game is so special. Folks, if you're listening and you never had a chance to go to the Bayou Classic, mark your calendar now and make it your point to be there next year to experience it. It is incredible. You may have been in New Orleans for other events, Mardi Gras, Essence Festival, maybe some other things, but to be there, it's nothing like being there for Bayou Classic Weekend. I promise you, if you go, you have a time that you'll never forget.
And that, just want to congratulate everybody for going to all the HBCU games, because I know on here we have been encouraging people to go and support and just have fun at the games. And obviously, people have been doing that this season because the results show they're here. We see it, especially for this Bayou Classic.
Absolutely. Some big games with big attendance, and it is reflected as the HBCUs are leading the way in attendance in FCS, and that is certainly a welcome sight to see.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to some other big changes, we know that some coaches are going and some coaches are staying. We're also seeing some new coaches, too. We know that Jackson State was actually looking for a new head coach, and they have now officially named one.
And one that was already on the staff. John Hendrick is the new head football coach. They're going to remove the interim from his name, as he was there coaching the latter stages of the season for Jackson State and had them in contention for a chance to play in the championship game. Jackson State Tigers really came on in the back half of the schedule, and for that, John Hendrick has been rewarded with the head coaching position.
Someone who has resigned is Mike London at Howard University. So he is no longer with the institution after two seasons at the helm of the Howard University football team. He joined in 2017 and led a team which had won three games the previous 2 years before him coming. So he has since resigned, and now the hunt is on for a new coach at Howard University.
Ms. Steele, what a mark he made in that very short period of time. We remember last season kicking things off with Howard traveling out to Nevada, Las Vegas, and just shocking everyone in football by coming back with a victory in that game. And the Howard program was raised to a different level. Now let's see if they can maintain that or take it even higher. But they will have Mike London to thank for his tenure there, for helping to really lift and elevate the program there at Howard.
Another school that is now looking for a head coach is Texas Southern University. So their coach, Michael Haywood, has also resigned, and they are now looking for someone to fill that vacant head coaching position. We know that Haywood was hired in 2015, December of 2015, and led the Tigers on to a 7-16 mark in the Southwestern Athletic Conference play. And also, the team compiled a record of 8-25. So they are now, again, Texas Southern University looking for a new head coach.
They are. A disappointing end to the season for them, playing the arch rival Prairie View, and got pounded by Prairie View in that last game. And it kind of sealed the fate for Coach Haywood. It will be interesting to see going forward who they will get to come in and lead the Texas Southern program and make them be competitive once again. But there will be a prime job in the Southwestern Athletic Conference to see who gets it. And one coach who is staying put is at Tennessee State University, and that's Rod Reed. Some people were thinking that Coach Reed might be departing after this season. The Tigers finished with a record of 4-5, and they had two games canceled due to hurricanes and also an emotionally draining season with linebacker Christian Abercrombie's severe head injury that had him leave the team, and he's continuing to recover here in Atlanta. But still, they want him to stay on, and of course, it's his 10th season at Tennessee State. Overall, his record is 53-47, but not good in the Ohio Valley Conference, and I'm sure that's what TSU boosters want to see him improve. They're 27-39 during his time in conference play, but Rod Reed will return next season as head football coach in Nashville at Tennessee State.
Now let's move over to some basketball. We know that this is a time now where a lot of things start to intertwine with one another until the football season is officially over. But basketball is going on too, and we've heard about some big shockers happening.
Texas Southern, once again, the basketball program there is always strong in the SWAC. They kicked off the season with a win over Baylor. That was, of course, a big win in Texas. But last week, they go to Eugene, Oregon, and they beat the Oregon Ducks, the 18th ranked team in the country, 89-84, as they get the win over 18th ranked Oregon. You know, Oregon always is known for their attire because, you know,
they have the, like, the finest uniforms.
In whatever sport.
In whatever sport, for real. Like, I'm talking about clean, sharp.
They always do. They always do. But Trayvon Reed had 23 points. John Jones added 20 points for Texas Southern as they get that big win. Congratulations to them for another big win in basketball, and we're going to keep our eye on them as the SWAC schedule approaches to see how Texas Southern does.
Well, that does it for the starting lineup. Stay tuned, though, because we have so much more information to give you, especially since we're going to talk to a legend in the game, Eric Moore, the managing editor of AniDan.com. He's joining us for our next segment, Straight from the Source, and we're going to talk to him basically about everything because he knows everything about HBCU sports and athletics in general. So stay tuned. He's next on HBCU Play. I'm LaRisha Harris. Alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. We'll be right back.
Time out. There's more coming your way on HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. When you want to know what's happening in HBCU sports, you need to get the info straight from the source.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Here's LaRisha Harris and Sam Crenshaw with more of HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw along with Larisha Harris with you. And now it's time for a very special guest as we go straight from the source. We're pleased to welcome in the managing partner, the managing editor of the Onadan Group at Onadan.com, Mr. Eric Moore. Welcome to HBCU Play.
Thank you very much, Sam. Good to be here with you and Larisha.
May we call you the godfather of HBCU Sports Online?
ooh, that's some heavy stuff.
I think that's a fitting title, though.
I have been called that in the past, yes.
See, look at there. That's a perfect one. Good job, Mr. Crenshaw. Good job.
Talk about how this all started, because you were almost light years ahead of everyone else, and how things were processed at the HBCUs at the time, and what led you to want to do something groundbreaking for historically black colleges and universities?
Well, often when I've asked you about getting started, I have to go back to a gentleman by the name of Marion Wiggum, who was a college classmate of mine, and we both were interested in communication. He went TV and I went radio, and I spent a lot of time working at radio stations and doing various and sundries. Then he was connected with Black Entertainment Television before it was sold, and I just say that simply because obviously in the communication business, things change. But back during this particular time period, Marion was working at BET, and BET was doing a Black College Game of the Week, not only football but also basketball. And so he needed a statistician, and that's a whole other story of how I got into stats. But in many instances, a lot of what I do is providing support with statistics and other various bits and pieces of information from which writers can then take that and write their stories. But anyway, Marion was at the CIAA tournament. I was there doing stats at the tournament. And, of course, we renewed friendships, and he was saying, you know, we need a statistician to work our games, because they were getting inconsistent sources from the different places that they went. So anyway, I hooked up with BET, and thanks to that connection, I had an eye-opening experience. You know, I'm based in North Carolina, and hadn't I done that much traveling to the West, most of my relations tended to be up and down the East Coast. Anyway, I had an epiphany at the Jackson State Southern University football game, with 60,000 people walking into Jackson Memorial Stadium on this particular case. They're out there tailgating, and I'm seeing stuff that I had not seen before. And I'm looking at all these people like, how did they find out what they need to know about their school? So I looked around and checked the local papers and everything else, and while there might be a smidgen here and there, they just were not getting covered. And so I got inspired to try to provide basic information, and it could be just the score of a game, or, of course, hooked up with the sports information directors and said, okay, send me your releases, because in many instances, the releases would get sent to the local media outlet and not get used. So that was my beginning in terms of getting started by saying, okay, send your stuff to me. I'm not going to sit here and edit it and make it a two-paragraph thing out of a five-paragraph development. And got into the web, and Luke Williams, who I know you've had on the show before, and I started working together thanks to another connection. And it was about some relationships that I had with other people. So that may be a long answer to your question. But I got started because I saw people that weren't being served. And so that inspired me to try to serve them as best I could.
So now fast forward to 2018. We're getting ready for 2019. Are you pleased with the growth that you've seen when it comes to the coverage of our HBCUs?
I am. I am very pleased, and I joke with friends of mine about what I call the wannabes who are coming on late trying to do something. And one of the things I appreciate about your show is that although I know you are based at WAOK, and that's an institution in itself, you try to cover nationally HBCUs. Well, there are other people who have an obvious interest in, say, a particular team, and so they'll go on, thanks to the Internet, and start doing a show. But it tends to be very localized in their perspective. So I appreciate the fact that they want to cover their local institutions, but some of them don't do as good a job as others.
Well, you know, we can't be biased here. We got to make sure we let everybody shine.
Exactly. And it's very clear the way you have approached the show, and I enjoy listening every week. And often, if I can, we'll put a link to HBCU Play on my website. Because, again, I see it as a way of informing people about, do you know this is out here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's been some talk about trying to do some partnerships with other people who are doing it. There are many people who have backgrounds and experiences in communication who perhaps didn't get an opportunity somewhere else, perhaps they could make their own opportunity. And I appreciate a lot of what you guys do because you're providing an opportunity to display as best you possibly can what's going on in the HBCU sports world.
We are pleased to be joined today by the managing editor and, like I said earlier, the godfather of HBCU Sports Online, Mr. Eric Moore of Onadan.com. Eric, talk about the way things are covered today and the variety of events and the way HBCUs are placed. There are a lot of different places that people can find HBCU athletics through streams, some through over-the-air broadcasts. You talked about back in the day when the only game you would see each week would be the game on BET. And for a while, the games went away. And now they're back in a number of different ways. Sometimes people may not know where they are, but at least the opportunities for exposure are there for HBCU sports.
And what has happened, Sam, is that most HBCUs who are looking at the technology are finding ways to use the technology as a distribution system. My interest when I first got started was just to provide an opportunity to distribute information about HBCUs. Well, now a lot of schools are learning how to do it themselves. In some cases, it's been conference-focused. For instance, the CIAA now has the CIAA Sports Network. SWAC has done the SWAC Digital Network for quite a while. I know the SIEC has a streaming arrangement. And even I was talking to a gentleman on my way to a job, and that particular guy was talking about how he's been speaking with the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. And so many of these conferences are now recognized. I don't have to have my product on the 6 o'clock news. I can stream my product to an audience that is interested in what I have. So the technology and taking advantage of the technology has given HBCUs now an outlet that they didn't have before. And in fact, they didn't as far as the internet is concerned. So using the internet, using it effectively to distribute, because what the internet has done is unfortunately made us very narrowly focused. And sometimes we get so focused on what we like, we don't sample what's going on in other places. But from an HBCU perspective, the use of the technology, video streaming, podcasts, all of those kinds of opportunities that just didn't exist in the past and are much more accessible are giving HBCU a chance to tell their own story.
Please be spending some time with Eric Moore. And Eric, talk a little bit about HBCU athletics and the fact that through these different ways of visibility, we seem to see a change in it. And I won't say an upgrade, but we're seeing more and more of that other athlete, that premier athlete, choosing the HBCU. And we're going to get later on in the next segment into North Carolina A&T and what they're doing and making the most of being in that spotlight. But talk about what that means also to put the emphasis on sports, because so many people feel like HBCU athletics is a social activity and it's about the bands. And it is, but when you're playing better athletics, to me, I always say the tailgate and all those things are better when you're winning and you're playing good ball. So talk about the extra visibility and what it could mean that way.
Well, I have heard several athletic directors use the phrase that athletics is the front porch to the university. And in many instances, athletic exposure then makes it possible for other aspects of the university to get their chance to tell their story. I was at a North Carolina Central football game, and as I'm walking in, this lady is handing me a towel, just terrible towel, whatever you want to call them. But she's handing me a towel. It was sponsored by the graduate school at North Carolina Central. So here was a case where they were basically taking a football game as an opportunity to expose another aspect of the university to what it was doing that people may not have known about as they were coming to the game. So often the athletic exposure then creates interest for the university to begin pitching other things that it does. And quite frankly, when you have an HBCU experience, in most cases, it's different than if you go to a non-HBCU school. That experience from the camaraderie, from the family atmosphere, from small classes, from teachers that are going to go one step beyond giving you a lecture, the special culture that comes with an HBCU often gets exposed as a result of introduction to athletics. So now they are finding, and often many schools will go after students that in the past they figured, oh, they won't come here. And those who come and find that is not what they may have thought it was, and it is much better, will stay. And then tell others, you know, I came and I really had a very good time. And so HBCUs now are having a much more positive spin as opposed to being described as one of those schools.
We're spending time with Eric Moore, folks. This is great conversation. Eric, we want you to hang on with us for another segment. Can you hang around with us for a little bit?
It'd be my pleasure.
All right. Hang on. We're going to come back with more of Eric Moore in the playbook coming up next after this timeout. You're listening to Sam and Larisha, and this is HBCU Play.
Timeout. Stay where you are for more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're breaking down the X's and O's.
That's precise.
In the playbook.
That's a precise breakdown.
On HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. Larisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And now we are diving into the playbook. This segment, we typically go deeper into the games, talk about certain things that are going on, specific plays or players. But now that the season is coming to an end, I think we should do a little recap. And who isn't better to do a recap with than the man himself? What did you call him, Mr. Crenshaw?
He is the godfather of HBCU Sports Online.
Yes, Mr. Eric Moore, the managing editor of AniDan.com. So, Mr. Moore, from your perspective, we saw a lot happen this year when it comes down to HBCU football. Various colleges, institutions, you know, being ranked nationally, NCA&T having the light on them still. Everybody preparing now for certain championship games and also the road to the Celebration Bowl. Since we're talking about championship games, that SWAC game happening this weekend, December 1st, your outlook on what has happened when it comes down to the SWAC, especially since we are not seeing a school that we normally always see in the championship game, and that's Grambling.
Grambling's not in the championship game, but hey, I understand where you're coming from. One of the things that has significantly impacted HBCU sports and in many cases HBCUs themselves is the leadership. And what I think you're going to see with the new SWAC commissioner, Dr. Charles McClellan, is, and I think you guys have talked to him, and I remember listening to that interview, he's coming with a whole different perspective. For instance, we, and I say we because often those of us in the HBCU world, you know, get very paternalistic about our schools. But there was a situation developing in Birmingham where the city of Birmingham said, look, why don't you have the SWAC championship game here? We can play it at Legion Field, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it just so happens that Alabama-Birmingham also plays at Legion Field, and so that a conflict came up. And so very quickly the SWAC office said, okay, if you've got another game that you've got scheduled, we would prefer to be on our own stage. Rather than play the game in Birmingham, we're going to play the game in the home of the Eastern Division winner. This year, that happens to be Alcorn State. And even stuff like Alcorn, I'll never forget, early in my BET days, I got schooled on the proper pronunciation of that particular institution.
And if you say Alcorn, I think we've all been schooled
Alcorn
on that.
Alcorn doesn't exist. You know, and just to help you understand, they say Alcorn, no shuck. So if you keep that in your head, then you'll make sure you say Alcorn and not Alcorn. Anyway, but the fact that the SWAC championship game will now include Alcorn and Southern University, they have already played before with a result, but then playing a team a second time can provide for some interesting scenarios. I'm looking forward to a very good game, especially after the success that Southern had at the Bayou Classic. And they have been living in Grambling shadows for so long, now it's their opportunity to shine.
You mentioned Commissioner McClellan, and I know he dangled another carrot too for the host team. Now he's going to free up some cash flow for the host team for this game. You talk about him being innovative and being outside of the box. I think that's pretty remarkable.
I would agree. I have always respected him. I have never really sat down and had a conversation with him, but I've heard interviews about with him. I know he has been interested in the SWAC commissioner's job. And when Dewis Sharp decided to resign, that opens up an opportunity for him to go for it. And now that he's there, I expect some wonderful things to start happening for the SWAC and some innovative things that he's about. And as you know, Sam, often people say, oh, I'll stay home and watch it on television. Yeah, that's fine. However, it doesn't hurt to have 20, 30, 40,000 people in a stadium, because that's revenue that can be generated and then spread out and shared with other members of the conference. So it should be an exciting time.
Not only that, it's just the camaraderie, the energy that you get when you have people in the stands that are cheering and enjoying the game. It's just, it's awesome.
Yeah, exactly right, Larissa. And only when you are there and experience that do you really begin to understand how enjoyable an experience it can be. You know, sitting in your living room is one thing, and I'm not saying don't watch, but being there is just something special.
Totally different, totally different. Now, I want to move on to North Carolina A&T. We saw them do some amazing things last season. They came back and did the same thing this year. But now they were selected to be a part of the Celebration Bowl after winning the MEAC. Do you think that they would have rather gone to the playoffs than take part in the Celebration Bowl?
I'm trying to hold back my laugh, because it's been extremely clear, and it really started with Rod Broadway, who was the coach who just retired. And in effect, and even in this instance, when you look at North Carolina A&T, Rod Broadway helped build that program from being on probation and not being able to even have a spring practice to winning a Black College National Championship. I don't think A&T, after its experience at the Celebration Bowl, could care less about the playoffs. And that doesn't ride too well with many people. But what do you mean not into the playoffs? Well, you're dealing with schools that have resources that are significantly better than yours. A&T has gone to the playoffs. I mean, I think the last time they went, they played the University of Richmond and got messed over big time because I don't think their heads were there. And as we become more and more tribalized, unfortunately, I think the Celebration Bowl becomes our championship, using that term again. And I don't think A&T could care less about the playoffs. It would have been nice to go to the playoffs, but with the MEAC commitment that our champion will go to the Celebration Bowl, there really wasn't an opportunity. The other question would have been, could there have been a second or third place team in the MEAC? It's happened in the past. Get a playoff bid. But it's almost as if there's a reaction. Okay, since you don't want to come play in the playoffs, then we won't even think about taking another team in the playoffs. You had a good time at the Celebration Bowl.
Eric, let me take that to the D2 level now. Because we saw Bowie State, you know, make it into the playoffs. Here in Atlanta, Morehouse had a great season, but had some late season losses, so they weren't going to get an invite to the D2 playoffs. How long before we see the D2 teams, you know, CIAA and SIAC, do something similar? I say that simply because this year is the 40th anniversary of the one and only NCAA National Football Championship that a HBCU won in Florida A&M. We've only had one other team play for an NCAA championship, and that was Winston-Salem State. To me, the HBCUs have profited so little from this playoff experience and gave up so much. We surrendered one of our big paydays was Thanksgiving, and HBCUs gladly gave that up to be a part of a playoff system that, in my opinion, has given them so little. How long do you think before the SIAC and CIAA may follow suit and have their own game?
Well, I know you're old enough to remember the Pioneer Bowl. It was an attempt to provide a postseason opportunity for the SIAC and the CIAA football championships. The problem was sponsorship and getting the money necessary to pull the game off without the schools having to then go into their own pocket to participate in the game. Many of us wish that game would come back, because it would then give a Division II postseason opportunity to not necessarily the conference champion, because it's nice to be able to be selected. And plus, I remember as I was talking about the Bowie State Valdosta State game, because I actually attended the Valdosta Winston-Salem State game, I think it was back in 2015, and it was a wonderful experience to be there again, National Championship Division II, but Valdosta was loaded. And their program is loaded. And much of that load comes because they get big-time support from those who are interested in helping Valdosta do well. We haven't gotten there yet at Division II in terms of fan contributions. In fact, I think last Tuesday was the the day of Giving Day. And there were some attempts to try to get HBCUs to participate in that. You know, everybody's getting in a mood where they want to give and give back. And some of the problems in doing that, I know HBCU Digest had discussed it. You go to the website and you can't even find a way. If I wanted to give you money, you don't make it easy for me to do it. So some of those support issues, some of those fundraising issues, some of those resource issues are going to have to be addressed before we can become truly competitive at the Division II level.
If you're just joining us, we are joined with Eric Moore, who is the managing editor of AniDan.com. But you also called him what, Mr. Crenshaw?
He is the godfather of HBCU Sports Online. It's been great having him today.
So before we let you go, just want to, you know, take a look at the future. What do you see overall when it comes to HBCU athletics, whether it's, you know, from the media standpoint of how they're viewed? We know that a lot of institutions have been able to get a lot more television games when it comes to, you know, football and other athletics. What do you see in the future? What is your foresight?
Well, I think it's going to be a continually growing situation. Now that HBCUs have found distribution systems, as I like to describe it, where they can get information to their fans and friends, and then others. I used to joke when I worked at a R&B radio station, we would go out and we would find that there were quite a few people that didn't look like they were in the HBCU community, and I shouldn't be that way. But anyway, they were enjoying the music. So you might find just flat-out white listeners listening to an R&B station because they like the music. Now, you might not necessarily see them out in public doing it, but if they're sitting quietly at home partaking of the music and all that comes with it, it can be a good thing for the radio station to expand its reach. And I see a lot of that with HBCUs. You know, there are non-black HBCU people who are beginning to understand what it's like to be, number one, a minority. So when they leave, they go out with a much different perspective than someone who hasn't had that experience. And I think as HBCUs continue to stay on top of the development, I know Elizabeth City State is about to start a new program on homeland security as a way of giving an opportunity to people to expand what was normally a criminal justice curriculum into something that is much more up to date. So as HBCUs continue to do that and continue to say, look, I can have the same kind of student experience here that you might get somewhere else. It might not be big and fancy, but sometimes when life gets tough, you enjoy the fact that you've learned how to get through those and be in a good shape for down the road. So I see nothing but growth. As more and more sophistication comes with the use of technology, I think you'll hear more and more about HBCUs, and it won't be as hidden as it has been in the past.
And on that note, we're going to wrap things up. Eric Moore, we thank you so much for spending the time with us, bringing us some knowledge, a visionary years ago with Onadan, and still a visionary when it comes to our HBCUs and the presentation of the athletics. We thank you so much for joining us for HBCU Play.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be on the show, and keep up the good work.
All right, thank you. We will do our best. All right, coming up, folks, we're going to go to the kickoff and let you know where you can see HBCU Athletics coming up this weekend. I'm Sam, along with Larisha here in Atlanta, and you're listening to HBCU Play.
Time out. We'll be right back with more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380. WAOK. It's almost game time on HBCU Play. We're getting ready for the kickoff with Larisha Harris.
You are clearly so quick-witted and beautiful.
And Sam Crenshaw.
He's a righteous dude.
On News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play here in Atlanta. Sam Crenshaw and Larisha Harris with you. And as always in our final segment, we call it the kickoff. Well, it'll soon become the tip-off as the seasons are starting to change. But, Larisha, there is still some football coming up this weekend and a makeup game, as some schools are doing that were postponed. If they're not involved in postseason play, they're getting a chance to make some games up from those from the bad weather conditions.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the season. You know, a couple of schools had to postpone because of that hurricane. But we'll see Norfolk State. They'll be able to make up their game, and that's going to happen at Liberty, 2 o'clock this weekend. You can catch it on ESPN3.
Okay, and, of course, the game we talked about earlier, we're taking place Southern and Alcorn, the SWAC Championship.
We've been waiting on this one, too. 4 o'clock on ESPNU. Who you got?
Maybe Southern wins it this time. Alcorn won the regular season game, and that game was played in Baton Rouge.
I know. I think I got Alcorn. I'm going to take Alcorn on this
one. Alcorn, I'm going to take Southern this
one. Okay, we're going to see who wins.
Hoops going on. Let's get started with the men and some games that are going on, Larisha.
So on Saturday, Wilberforce at Miami. That's Ohio, though. 2 o'clock on ESPN 3. Also, you can see Savannah State at Gardner Webb. That tip-off is for 3 p.m., and you can catch that one on ESPN+.
Norfolk State, we mentioned their football team in action. Their basketball team is on the road playing in Ohio at Kent State. That's a 4 o'clock starter. That game will be on ESPN+. Hampton is home also at 4 p.m. They're playing Regent University in men's basketball. ESPN+ is where you can see that one.
Big game for Grambling. They're going to take a road trip over to LSU. That's a 5 o'clock tip-off, and you can catch that one on SEC+.
South Carolina State and Jacksonville. That's a 6 o'clock start on ESPN+.
Tennessee State at Western Kentucky. That'll be a good one, too. 7 o'clock ESPN+. And another good one, Southern versus Louisiana. 8 o'clock ESPN+.
Those are folks that dropped the Lafayette from their name. They just want to be Louisiana without the Lafayette. Yeah, so that's where that came. So they want to be called Louisiana. We'll call them Louisiana.
Yes.
Prairie View at Murray State taking on the Racers. That is an 8 o'clock start up in Kentucky, and it's on ESPN+.
FAMU versus South Alabama, 8:30 tip-off, ESPN+. And how about some women action on Sunday?
Sunday, how about this one on ACC Digital? Tennessee State playing against Louisville at Louisville, 2 o'clock game time.
And that game going on again at Louisville in what is technically a college arena, but it looks like, and when you walk through there, feels an NBA arena.
Yeah, it's a big-time place.
It's a beautiful place. Beautiful, beautiful. Also happening Sunday, Coppin State at Virginia. That's also on ACC Digital with a 2 o'clock tip-off.
And then there's Elon playing at Hampton. That's a 3 o'clock start. That game will be on ESPN+. That's going to wrap things up, of course, for basketball and football on the air this weekend. But before we go, let's tip the cap to the men's basketball team at St. Augustine's University. Last week, they gave back to the community by assisting the Helping Hand Mission with this annual Thanksgiving food drive. Now, the Falcons filled and delivered food boxes to families at the Helping Hand Mission facility, which is located on Rock Quarry Road in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is the fourth consecutive year under head coach Marcus Johnson that the SAU men's basketball team has partnered with the Helping Hand Mission. Job well done, gentlemen, as we tip the cap to the men's basketball team at St. Aug.
Well, that does it for today's episode of HBCU Play. Want to remind you, if you miss any show, you definitely miss a lot, but you can always head over to WAOK.com and recap all the shows that we've done so far this 2018 year. Again, that's WAOK.com. Make sure you go over there and tune in or check out some of the shows we've already done. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, too. I'm Larisha underscore H. That's L-E-R-I-C-I-A underscore H.
And I'm on Twitter at SamCrenshaw23.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember, next week, we are going to get you ready for the Celebration Bowl. So come back and join us.
That's right. Be sure and join us here next week to find out who those teams are going to be as we get you set for the big game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Until next time, I'm Sam with Larisha, and you've been listening to HBCU Play.
Thanks for listening to HBCU Play.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.